Welcome to Season 2 of The Animal Highlight. This season is focused on animals and sound and has been extracted from Season 4 of The Animal Turn podcast, which was originally aired in 2021. In this season, I'm joined with a co-host, and I'm delighted. It's Hannah Hunter, who is a friend and colleague of mine from Queen's University. Hannah is a PhD candidate in the Geography Department at Queen's University and an active member of the Sonic Arts of Place Laboratory at Queen's University, which is also a sponsor of this season. Her research explores the intersections of animals, sound, and extinction, and Hannah is particularly interested in the intersection of how we can build relationships with distant and lost beings through sound, and how sound might be a potent force for representing and challenging the fourth mass extinction. In this episode, we focus on coyotes. Hello again, Hannah, and welcome back to The Animal Turn. I'm excited for today's animal highlight. You mentioned that we're going to be speaking about coyotes, right?
Yeah. I've had some fun learning about them.
Well, the reason I'm quite excited is I saw my very first coyotes this week, actually.
I've never seen
coyotes. Yeah, I was walking my sister's dogs here in BC, in Gibson's, and all of a sudden the dogs started going bonkers, and our 12-year-old beagle was like, bah, 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 and he was really excited, and he was on a little mound, and I had to like clamber up this mound, and as my head peeked over, I saw he was on a stand for the coyote. Coyote was just looking at him.
Oh my goodness.
And then the second, but Rowdy was standing his ground, and the coyote wasn't really doing anything, just seemed more curious. And then second, the coyote saw me, took like three steps back, but then kept watching. And then I was watching. And then all of a sudden, two other coyote heads from another mound popped up, and they were all watching. So we were all just watching each other, and Rowdy was going slightly berserk. But beautiful. Wow. I've never seen coyotes before. And of course, our fellow classmate at Queen's University, Lauren Van Patter, she did her PhD with them. So I'm really excited to learn about
it. She will be disgusted in what comes next.
No. Anything we know about Lauren, she's never disgusted. She's just a wonderful human.
She will be disgusted. Not that she's disgusted. We will be disgusting.
Sorry, we lost some.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's a good thing I corrected. Okay. All right, you take it away.
Okay, well, so we are going to talk about coyotes. And one of the reasons for this is obviously this week you and Martin talked about music. And coyotes are often called, well, one of the names for them is the song dog. And that's because they have these particularly elaborate repertoire of vocalizations, which if you have ever camped in the western part of the US, at least, sorry, that's very specific because that's my experience, you will hear these elaborate vocalizations, and they can be quite kind of scary if you're not, you don't know very much about coyotes, which they were for me as a girl from England, where we don't have very many big animals. But they make these incredible sounds. And the reason for them being scary, I will talk about in a minute. But so they have these elaborate repertoires, these very kind of complex sounds that they make. And Lauren Van Patter, friend of the podcast, friend of us, who recently finished her PhD about coyotes, in her dissertation, she talks about how they're kind of considered the most vocal North American mammal. And she lists the different vocalizations, how they're kind of typified by science. And so examples of that are growl, a huff, a woof, bark, bark howl, whine, yelp, lone howl, group yip howl. The list goes on. There are many, many ways that they're kind of, a warble is my favorite, and a gargle.
A warble.
And so with the one that they're most known for is the group yip howl. And hopefully we'll be able to listen to that. And that usually happens when they kind of reunite or when they're about to separate before they go hunting. So it's kind of about territorial occupancy as well as keeping trespassers away and as a kind of social bonding. So says Brian Lerner, who's a coyote sound researcher. And so because of all of these elaborate repertoires, they're not only known as being the song dog, but they're also kind of known as being tricksters. And kind of mythologically, they've always been known as tricksters. And that's partly because of what is known as the beau geste effect, which is French, so I'm not sure if I pronounced it right. So this effect was kind of first proposed by a man called Fred Harrington in 1989. And this is a hypothesis which kind of was first thought about in terms of songbirds, and then eventually to mammals like wolves and coyotes. And it's this effect where you feel like you're hearing a lot more of the animals than there actually are. So there might only be two coyotes kind of doing these mm-hmm. yip howls, but it might sound that there's like four or six of them. And it's called the beau geste effect based on this book, which is about this fiction book where there's people at war and they kind of pretend that they prop up their fallen soldiers to make it seem as though they're alive, so that the people they're fighting against feel like there's more people than there actually are. So that's kind of where the phrase comes from. And so when it comes to coyotes, they're considered to be tricksters because people think they're kind of doing this deliberately, that coyotes and wolves as well are kind of deliberately using these kind of sonic tactics to make it sound like there are more of them than there actually are, so that they kind of come across as being more commanding in the territory, so that other kind of coyotes won't infringe upon them and things like that. But it seems, from my limited knowledge, that we don't 100% know if it's kind of a deliberate thing or if it's just kind of a trick of the environment. So kind of these complex sounds mixed with like echoes of the places mm-hmm. in which coyotes usually inhabit just makes it sound like there's a lot more of them than there are. But this kind of effect was tested by Kyle Brester and colleagues in 2017, where they played recordings of 1 to 4 howling and yapping coyotes to over 400 people. And they found that people consistently overestimated the number of coyotes they heard twofold. So they always thought it was double the amount of coyotes than they actually heard. And what's interesting about that study is that they did it with captive coyotes. So they kind of recorded them in after capturing them, which would mm-hmm. kind of, which would maybe make it seem as though it wasn't a trick of the environment and the echoes that were making it sound like there were more of them than there actually were. It was more to do with kind of the way that they use these and stitch together these all these different kinds of vocalizations they have.
So it's not like actually so physiological. It's not a physiological thing. It's not like they have two voice boxes or something like that. They're actually just manipulating how they call to give the illusion that there are multiple coyotes.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, that there are just so many different ways that they can call and they kind of do them one after another so kind of quickly that it makes it seem like there's more of them than there actually
interesting.
Are. Yeah, that's all I really had to say about coyotes. Other than that, because of this fact, that's one of the reasons that people think they're, and one thing that Lauren talks a lot about is that people kind of have this fear of coyotes that is potentially, you know, not justified. And part of the reason for that is that people overestimate their number because of this effect. And so, mm-hmm. for example, in Texas ranching communities, they often think that what's killing off their livestock is coyotes because they have this overinflated idea of how many of them there actually are because they're always hearing them. But actually, for the most part, mm-hmm. it's not coyotes, it's other animals. So it's kind of people think they're a nuisance when they're maybe not. So yes, maybe if we played music with the coyotes and took advantage of their song making abilities, that it was
this different. Is really fascinating. Again, it just shows the significance of thinking about animals with sound, I think, and how sound can actually illuminate some of these relationships, trouble them, but also trouble some of our actions and our responses to animals. So that was amazing. Thank you again, Hannah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
to Animals in Philosophy, Politics, Law, and Ethics for sponsoring the Animal Tone podcast. Thank you also to the Sonic Arts Studio and the Sonic Arts A Place Laboratory, who were sponsors for the fourth season of the Animal Tone podcast that was focused on animals and sound, where, of course, these animal highlights were extracted from. A big thank you also to Hannah Hunter for co-hosting this season of the Animal Highlight with me. This episode was produced by myself, edited by Christian Mentz, and the logo and episode artwork were created by Rebecca Shin. This is The Animal Highlight with me, Claudia Hirtenfelder.